All right, everybody, welcome to episode 50 of NPC Talk. My name is Inkernaut, and today is November 3rd, 2021. Okay, I'm like an episode behind on uploading versus actually recording, but we'll get it done. Next episode, the volume's too low, and I streamed it live because I thought, I don't even know what's going on with my audio, but we will get it perfect. This episode and the next episode, still working on it, but one day we'll get it. All right. Let's get into the episode.
What?
All right. Welcome to NPC Talk, everybody.
Hello.
Greetings.
How is everybody doing? Daniel, you start. How are you doing?
I caught a cold because I like sleeping with my window open, even though the weather is getting colder. That's it.
Dude, colds are scary now in this pandemic time.
I'm worried for my life.
Roger, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
All right. my morning's been a little busy. I'm shopping around for a new insurance, and it's like it's so confusing because they're like, I don't know. They just like throw a bunch of words in my face and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And so actually, yeah, I have my phone with me. I'm actually waiting for a call for them to call back. But the truth is I don't know why they need to call me back, because I said, oh, just email me all the information. And they're like, okay, I'll email you and then I'll call you afterwards. And I'm like, why? What are you calling me for? But I guess we'll see.
The curse of being an introvert. Don't call me, just email it.
That's so true. I feel like
I don't want to talk to you.
I honestly feel like the phone call is going to be like, hey, Chris, did you get my email? I'm like, yeah, I did. And like, great. Well, if you have any questions, let me know. I'm like, all right, bye.
I'll email it to you.
Please remove my number.
What insurance is this for again? I wasn't listening. Is it like car insurance?
It's like auto and it's auto and homeowners.
Ah.
Yeah. And so they like bundle it together and apparently you get a discount if you have home security, which I don't.
Since we're not sponsored, I suppose it would be not prudent to ask what company you're going with.
Okay. I guess Roger. I guess it's not that big of a deal, but Roger, my wife and I were in escrow now, so we bid an offer for a house and it got accepted.
Oh,
last... my volume levels.
Can you give me the address of it? So
I can later, probably not on this platform.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the area that I bought the house in is like half the city is in a high fire risk and the other half isn't. And I'm in the half that is high fire risk.
So, hold on, what?
Yeah, because like in the East Bay there's a lot of like dry leaves and like dry foliage, and so it's considered like high fire risk, even though there aren't really fires in the area. It's still considered a high risk, you know, like if Tahoe fires come down or something. Yeah. So a lot of the insurance places don't cover our area. So I'm stuck with either State Farm or Allstate. And if either of them wants to sponsor this podcast, please email me at npctalkpodcast@gmail.com.
Please sponsor us.
Dude, I love, okay, I know it's not sponsored, but I love, I think it's, I love State Farm commercials. I think they're funny. Allstate's are kind of funny too.
Wait, which one?
Is that the one with the black actor, Morgan Freeman? Wait. That's not Morgan Freeman.
I watch a lot of basketball. This is a really bad transition, but I watch a lot of basketball, and State Farm uses, oh gosh, I'm pretty sure it's State Farm uses Chris Paul as like their State Farm spokesperson, and so they're pretty funny. Let me make sure it's State Farm and not Allstate. That'd be so bad.
I see. I think I'm right though. It's the one with Jake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jake from State Farm. Dude, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's with Chris Paul too. They're so funny.
Oh, I have not seen any of these commercials.
Me neither. I just see him on Twitch sometimes because they have one where he's talking with Dr. Lupo.
I've seen that one too. You nerd. And speaking of being nerds, today's podcast topic is Metroidvanias, and Daniel is our resident Metroidvania expert. So take it off, Daniel. Tell us everything you know.
I like Ori. that is all. I haven't even played the second game of Ori, though, so I don't know how much I can speak on this topic.
Yeah, I was just trolling Daniel. The actual Metroidvania expert is Roger. Mostly for Metroid. I think, Roger, you've played almost all of them. All of the main Metroid games, right?
Almost all of them, except for like the original Metroid 1 and Metroid 2. But I've played most of them.
Those weren't even Metroidvanias, right, back then?
Wait, those weren't even Metroidvanias back then?
Yeah, like, were they Metroidvanias, or were they, like, more like just a regular platformer?
I'm not really too sure. I kind of feel like the term Metroidvania kind of spread about right around the time when Symphony of the Night came out.
True.
I'm not too sure what the earlier Castlevanias were like.
They were just platformers. Like, think of like the old school Mario games, like where you go from level to level. It's the same thing except with a Belmont. I think it was Simon.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I think maybe the original Metroid could still be classified, but I'm not really 100% too sure as that. As if they can be classified as Metroidvania.
You're fired.
I'm not an expert. Sorry.
Wait, did they also have all the ability unlocks and progression locked behind getting the abilities first? That sort of thing?
I like that we're asking you about the game you've never played. About that game.
Okay, I believe.
All right, Roger, hit it off.
All right. I think there might have been some upgrades.
Nice.
Similar. so badly.
Oh, I found a map, and it seems like there are... Let me send it in the thing. It seems like there was still, like, Ice Beam, High Jump, Screw Attack, Wave Beam, Varia, Morphling Ball.
That's a State Farm commercial.
What?
Just kidding. I was looking at the link before the one you just sent.
Oh. Oh. Like, wait a second.
Oh, I thought you were making a joke, but I didn't get.
The original Metroid is really impressive for a Nintendo game.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Oh. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, before we go into specific Metroidvania games, I just wanted to ask each of you And we'll start with Daniel. Do you have a rating for like how much you like Metroidvania games in general? And I would guess it's pretty average or below average since you've only played one.
Well, I feel like part of the reason I only played one was like I didn't have a console growing up. So everything that I played was all either PC or later on in life emulated. And I didn't get introduced to it till really late. And by then I was just bad at it. And so it was very discouraging and I just never touched it. So,
you know, a lot of
it's all right.
A lot of Metroidvania games are pretty difficult. Like they're not, it's a lot of like dying and like exploring while dying and stuff like that. I can see how it's like a little daunting to.
Yeah. Like I tried to, the first one I tried, I think was Order of Ecclesia. The Castlevania one on Game Boy, I think.
Is it DS? It's DS.
DS? Okay. I died so much. It was very discouraging.
Oh, that's a really,
I never beat it.
It's a really good title though.
It seemed pretty fun.
It
from the less than 1 hour that I got into it.
I will say, when that game came out, it was known for being one of the more difficult Castlevanias of the Metroidvania Castlevanias.
Where was the warning, guys?
Oh. I played it like last year or so. I
think. Oh, okay.
I don't think I knew you back then. Wait.
We didn't know each other back then.
I was like, wait a sec.
Wait, I knew you guys.
Yeah, but we were too busy playing MapleStory, Roger.
Oh. Right.
That was still those days.
Yeah. Oh.
Good times.
I love the DS, man. It might be my favorite console.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. sorry. Okay, Roger. Where would you rank Metroidvania, the genre?
Like on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest. I think like if you ask me this maybe 10 years ago, I probably would give it like 8 or so. But now I'm feeling like a 7.
Whoa.
This is scandalous.
Oh my gosh.
What happened?
Yeah.
It just feels like an oversaturation nowadays with Metroidvania genre. I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting too old. I'm a boomer now.
Aren't we all?
Yes.
I do. Yeah. I do agree, though, that with the genre getting saturated, it's become more like Metroidvania has become like kind of in the same vein as like quote unquote open world, but it's like basically a 2D open world.
Mm-hmm.
And like they, as long as all the levels are in one big open world and it's not like, you know, level by level or a bunch of loading screens, then it like falls in the Metroidvania category. But like what's supposed to make the game, or sorry, the genre really special is that it's supposed to be very non-linear. Like, of course you can't progress without certain power-ups or items, but like the idea is like you're supposed to be at an impasse where you can go to like 4 different places and they're all in different ways legit paths to go. Okay. And I feel like with the saturation of Metroidvania games, a lot of them end up being really linear. And for me personally, it takes away a lot of what made the genre special.
Yeah, I agree with most of what you said, too.
Question. What are your thoughts on the ones that are maybe more story-driven? Because I'm looking, so I just sent a list of the Metroidvania games according to Wikipedia. And I'm looking at it, and apparently, like, Well, I mean, Ori's on here, but then there was also
Kirby Superstar. I don't think that's a Metroidvania.
Yeah, there's like some games on here where it's like, it seems like it's a lot more story driven, like Cave Story, where it's like, it's a natural progression of where you go next, like pretty straightforward. Do you feel like those shouldn't count as much in the Metroidvania section of games genre?
It kind of feels to me that people are kind of using the term Metroidvania very loosely. Just like from looking at this list.
Why is Mega Man on here?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like there's no very like clear definition of Metroidvania. Like what are the characteristics of it? But like, and like what Ikronaut said, it should be non-linear. But if that's the case, then I don't know. Some of the games that are listed here on this wiki is kind of shady in terms of matching that non-linear criteria.
DuckTales.
But this is Wikipedia. Wikipedia doesn't lie.
It's true.
Oh, that is true.
Wait, do you guys agree with the definition they've got at the top? It says, this category describes games that have been classified as falling into the Metroidvania genre of gameplay, a specific type of action-adventure game, as well as platform game generally, that features a large interconnected game world that progressively becomes more accessible as the player collects power-ups.
I mean, like, I think on a high level, I would agree with that. But, you know, like, I guess, like, you can approach the way that the world becomes more accessible as a player collects power-up in the sense of that if you have, like, a straight corridor, right? And then, you know, like, but you have this locked door, but the way to open this locked door is with an upgrade. If this upgrade is just, like, you know, right in front of you and you grab it to open the locked door, it's like, yeah, the world opens up, but it's like there was only a closed area to begin with, right? Which I feel that some of these games listed on this list kind of falls under. It isn't like, you know, you get an upgrade and then you can explore like multiple areas as a result, right? But some of these games are more of like, once you get an upgrade, then you can only access, or you can open up this one area instead of multiple. I don't know. Like, do I make sense? Like,
yeah. It makes sense. It's hard to put, like, it's hard to categorize, I suppose.
Yeah.
I just wanted. Yeah, sorry. Go.
Yeah, it just feels like Metroidvania seems like a catch-all phrase to me, or term.
Hey, Death's Gambit is on here.
Oh.
I just wanted to say that DuckTales on the Nintendo was goated. That game was so good. And reading the wiki, I guess, I'm trying to remember. I guess it kind of is Metroidvania. Okay. If I remember correctly, you would be in like sort of like a menu screen, and then you could pick your level. So it would be like, you know, there's like, I remember there's like four levels to pick from, and then the levels would be pretty big, and technically it's like interconnected because you're going on like a map, but, and then I remember you'd have to do like one level to like get an upgrade, and then do another level, and then with that first upgrade you can go further in that level. And then if you didn't have the upgrade, then you'd have to like exit that stage and like find what upgrade you needed in the other stages. So like, I guess it's kind of like a closed world Metroidvania. Mm-hmm. But same with Roger. Like, I'm not sure if I would really classify it as Metroidvania. And I understand why it is. And I respect the decision. But at the same time, it's kind of like a catch-all.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move to specifics. So Roger, you You played Metroid Dread on the Switch.
Oh, yeah. It came out like last Friday on October 8th. And I played it over the weekend and managed to complete it somehow.
No way. It came out on Friday?
Yeah.
You destroyed that game.
No, I died a couple of times.
Dude, you 100%ed that game in 5 days.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Very impressive.
Not really.
Okay, before we move forward, I do want to say that I'm currently on a F Nintendo riot right now, because Nintendo, as great of a company as they are, they not only do not support the Super Smash Brothers scene, which I'm a Melee fan, so like I understand why they don't directly support Melee, because it's really old, but not only do they not support Melee, they actively stop other sponsors from trying to support Melee. So it's like Nintendo is actively trying to squash the Melee scene, and I am not okay with that. And because of that, I'm saying screw you, Nintendo. I am rioting. Although Metroid Dread looks awesome, so I really want to play it, but I will not buy it out of spite, and I will figure out another way to play it, aka borrowing Yotaku's copy.
Oh, nice.
But yeah. If Nintendo wants to sponsor us, please do.
Yeah. If Nintendo sponsors this podcast but not support Melee, oh, that would be very interesting. What would we do?
Please sponsor us.
Yeah, I guess we have to go for it. Oh man. Okay, so how was Metroid Dread?
So overall, like in comparison with other Metroid games that I have played, it's actually pretty decent. Like it's pretty good. But there are a few points that I feel that kind of drag it down from being the actual best Metroid game. Starting.
Sorry. What's the GOAT Metroid games?
So for me personally, I love Super Metroid. Yes. And Metroid Prime.
Yes.
I think like those are god tier Metroid games.
True.
And then following under that, I would say like Zero Mission is good. I also really like Metroid Prime 2 Echoes. Actually, Echoes might be god tier also.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, I actually think Metroid Prime 2 Echoes like invoked the fear of Dread better than Metroid Dread. which is kind of funny. Like Metroid's Dread, like experience of trying to invoke the feeling of Dread was more annoying than fear.
Mm.
But Metroid Prime 2 Echoes was more like, dang, I might be screwed here or something like that. But yeah, so I would consider those to be very good Metroid games.
Gotcha.
Missing anything else? Yeah. So I think like with Metroid Dread, first off, it's by the same developers as Samus Returns, which was a Metroid game remake of Metroid 2. It was on the 3DS. I think it's by Mercury's Dream. I think they're like Spanish developers.
Oh, nice.
And so coming from Samus Returns to Metroid Dread, like you could definitely see that Mercury's Dream learned a lot from it. Like Metroid Dread is just overall a big improvement over Samus Returns. However, there were still like a few like pet peeves that I had about Samus Returns, like still return in Metroid Dread. Play to the Melee counter mechanic. So what Melee counter is that some enemies have certain attacks that are counterable. So blink, like this flash, like this blink of light, indicating that they're gonna attack you, and also indicating to the player that they can counter it. And so when you counter the enemy, they're put into like a stun state, where you can just basically one hit KO them with a beam shot.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll give like a bunch of health and missiles as a reward if you do it correctly. So there were a few times where I kind of felt that melee counter was too abusable and overpowered. I remember there were like some enemies that it kind of felt like they took two charge shots to kill, but just like one melee counter to kill. And I think like that balancing issue just kind of makes the combat a little bit wonky,
mm-hmm.
and maybe like not as fun. But that's just my opinion.
Is countering easy to do?
It's all right. Some enemies have really like telepathic. Is that the right term? Like telepathic pattern?
Telegraph
to their attack. Oh yeah, telegraph. Sorry,
they read your mind.
telegraphic attack patterns. Other enemies, like their attack patterns, go by really fast. That it's kind of more of like you need a good technical sense or reactionary technical sense to counter them. But I would say overall, like I would say it's average difficulty. I'm also getting old now, so like my technical prowess isn't as great as when I was younger.
Oh man, preach it.
Oh yeah, I'll preach it later.
Okay. So the counter is overpowered. What else?
Okay, so I guess another pet peeve. It might sound like I'm like, you know, like bashy this game, but overall I really do like it. It's just like I want to get the bad stuff over with.
Mm-hmm.
You know how Metroidvania games, like usually when you think of them, like you think of, oh, you have this huge interconnected map, and some really interesting level design, and I can go anywhere where I want as I get more upgrades.
Yes.
But Metroid Dread, like, it gives the illusion of that. It does have like one of the biggest maps that I've ever seen in a Metroid game, but the problem is that at certain points in the game will like wall off the player to kind of ensure that the player goes on the main progression route through the game.
Boo.
So it's kind of like it's weird because like as you get more upgrades, like you kind of want to backtrack and try to get those like upgrades that you saw earlier in the game, but as a result, like you're unable to do that at certain points of time. And so like yesterday I was speedrunning and I made an early like skip. I got the gravity suit early on. But I was like, and there's this might be spoilers, but there's this one part in the game where one of the area completely freezes over.
Ooh.
And so some of the doors are frozen shut now. And I'm kinda like, oh shoot, like I already have like 3 energy tanks and like 50 missiles. And I kind of feel really weak. I don't have that option to like backtrack and power up my my character more, so that I will feel more suited against the boss. But because like I sequence break, like I've reached this point of no return. So that kind of sucks, in my opinion. Like not giving that option to like go backtrack and just, you know, be a little bit more stronger for the next boss fight. I think that hurts a lot.
Wait, is this point of no return also if you played it normally, or is it only from sequence?
It's also if you play it normally.
Oh, that's no fun.
Yeah, so I sequence break too much and reach that point of no return, and so my character is normally weaker than it should be.
That's interesting. Usually point of no returns are pretty rare in Metroidvanias.
Yeah, but I mean, like, after you, like, defeat this boss, then the world goes back to its original state.
Oh, okay.
So it's just, like, a temporary, like, point of no return. But, like, I'm, like, locked inside of that state right now.
Is it kind of like at certain points in the game, you have only one option? Like, you can't do anything else. You have to go do certain something before you can progress?
Yeah, pretty much. And, like, the game, like, gives the illusion that you can, like, you know, explore more, but really, like, to go on the main progression route, you have to go to this particular point first.
Our friend Kevin got lost playing it, so that's something.
Yeah, but I think, like, it's his first Metroid game too, and he wasn't aware of, like, the classic Metroid tediousness of just shooting everywhere.
Did you hear that, Kevin? You're a noob.
But there's, like, one something that I think Metroid Dread did really well is for a quality of life, Metroid Dread's map system would actually mark the general surrounding area of upgrades. So, like, if you walk through a room, like, you don't see the upgrade, but your sensor will, like, pick up that there's a hidden upgrade somewhere in that room, but you just don't know where it is.
That's really cool.
And it will mark that general area on the map for you. So that way, like, at the very end, when you want to do, like, your 100% 100% achievement or whatever, you just need to look at the map, and it will just, like, mark all of the places that you need to visit. And that saves, like, a lot of time than actually, you know, just shooting everywhere, every block that you see, you know. And so, yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah, that's, like, one thing that I really like about Metroid Dread.
I wanted to say, I was just gonna say that, usually I'll see, like, an upgrade that I can't reach yet, and then if, usually, like, a lot of Metroidvania games now, they let you mark stuff on your map, but then I'm too lazy, so I'm just like, I'll come back to it later, and then I just forget about it.
Oh yeah, Metroid Dread also has that option too, to let the player mark stuff on the map as well.
Nice.
But I never, like, used it personally, because, like, the game will just mark stuff for you anyways. Yeah. I guess, like, my last pet peeve is probably the Emmys. So the Emmys are a new type of enemy. Specific to this game. If any of you guys are familiar with Metroid Fusion and with SAX, the Emmys are essentially like SAX. It's like a MIDI one and hide stealth section. And if the Emmys catches you, you have two, or it's like pretty much a 90% game over unless you are able to counter the Emmy with perfect timing. But yeah, I think, like, the Emmy sections were particularly very annoying. Like, the first time they were really cool, but it just ends up being very repetitive. After, like, the third Emmy, it's just the same thing, like, run and hide, you know, don't get caught, that sort of thing. And I kind of feel like that annoying stealth segment in a game where you kind of want to speedrun, right? Because the enemy rewards require you to be, like, under 4 hours or under 8 hours. And stealth naturally makes you want to be more patient sometimes. And that kind of coincides with the urge of, like, oh, I need to, like, play as fast as I can to get that reward. I don't have time to, like, sit around and wait for this enemy to walk past me. So that was, I thought that was kind of like a weird conflict at times. But yeah.
Isn't like the speedrun achievement though just kind of like for replay value?
Yeah, it's for replay value. But still, like, just that feeling of, oh, I need to be patient and hide from this Emmy, but I also need to kind of rush things to try to meet that 4 hour requirement, you know.
Wait, is there no way to, like, kill them?
There is a way to kill them, but it's you have to enter like a particular boss battle first, and then you have to get this like one time only like power up that is only used specifically against the enemies. So it's kind of like story scripted in a way.
I think Fusion had something like that too.
Yeah. But yeah, I think like so after, I think like that's most of the negative stuff that I have to say about Metroid Dread.
But before you move to the positive, I heard or I read online, one other negative is that, and you can confirm or deny this, is I heard the environment, like the environment design is pretty stale. Like it's not.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That is true. Like, I don't know. It's actually like really more apparent now. In my subsequent playthroughs. Because as I'm going through my second and third playthrough, I'm kind of like, where was I supposed to go again? Like a lot of the rooms are not very, they don't really have a lot of like distinct features or characteristics about them. They just kind of feel like, I don't know, like there's nothing memorable, I would say. That's kind of makes the room stand out a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, I always get confused on where I'm supposed to go, even on my subsequent playthroughs. Like, I don't really remember this room. Like, this room never really stood out to me.
Oh,
I don't remember, like, which way I was supposed to go again. so yeah, I would say that is a negative also.
All right, let's get to the good stuff. What you
got? All right, so for the good stuff, the movement is probably one of the best movement in the Metroid games that I have ever experienced.
Snap.
So like for starters, like they introduce Flash Shift upgrade, and Flash Shift is essentially like an air dash that you could use, and it just improves the mobility so much, like horizontally.
It looks so fun.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like a really good tool also to use in boss battles, because you could use it to quickly get out of a corner or from like a bad positioning, or use it to dodge at this attack and whatnot. So it's just like a very versatile. It's pretty good for just traversing in general. I think one of the best upgrades they can introduce.
Sorry. How many directions can you air dash?
So you can go like left, right. I don't think you can go up. Like I tried going up, but it wasn't possible. I remember there was one time when I was able to air dash down. But I don't really use that often because I just fall down instead. it's like, yeah. So I guess just, I don't know about diagonals though. Like if you can flash shift down diagonal.
Wave dash?
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know if so. I think it's just like three directional ways.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And
hello.
Big cool movement.
Oh my! I think my internet died just now for a second. Okay, start over. What's up?
Oh, okay. So I think like another big movement. Plus, was does
Daniel? Wait, hold on. Sorry, Daniel. You have to say it in the podcast. That's the point of the podcast.
I think it was Roger's internet, but keep going, Roger. Keep talking. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Oh, very. So I really like what they did with the speed booster. They just improved the speed booster mechanic overall. So, like in the previous games, right? Like, to get the speed booster, you just have to run a certain amount of distance, and the speed booster will activate. And if you press down during that state, you could start that energy into a shine spark. I also forgot to mention that at any time when you're running, like if you change directions suddenly or you hit an obstacle, you lose your speed booster bonus. So what they did with this game is that they let you allow to actually preserve the speed booster state, even if you jump and do a wall jump. After a wall drop, you could still you'll still be in that speed booster state, which is really awesome. Same thing if you're sliding under like this really low like vent, whatever. If you slide, you'll still preserve it, I believe. And I think like the way that they handled like storing the shine spark is really good. So if you start the shine spark, and then you just walk to this slope, this angled slope, and you shine spark onto that slope, you'll still preserve that speed booster like miraculously. And so it really makes so this like whole new revamped mechanic of the speed burst booster makes really interesting puzzles where you see like a upgrade that is behind a speed booster block, and you're kind of wondering yourself like, wait a minute, I don't actually have enough distance to like get the speed to get into the speed booster state. And so what actually happens is that you actually have to start the speed booster state at the room, or like maybe like two rooms after, like before it, and like go like do some weird gymnastic stuff, like ducking under obstacles, shine sparking onto slopes, like wall jumping off of this and that, and such that you'll be in that shine spark state before the speed booster block. And it really makes like a really cool technical puzzle element to the game, which is amazing.
Is it like it's utilized pretty well in the game?
I would say like just for getting 100% items, it's utilized pretty well. But it's not like a really necessary component for the main progression route. But it's just like a side thing.
I like that. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Let's see what other I really like Samus's design of the new base, her new suit, just her base form. I don't really care about the Varia suit or the gravity suit, but I really like the design of her base suit. Just like the blue, red, white color scheme. But yeah, I don't know. I'll just up to it later.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Did you say you'll what?
What?
you'll what later?
What?
I see.
I don't know. I think my internet died.
speaking of jizz,
Well, what?
What? Speaking of jizz, my phone came in this week.
Oh,
Craig,
you jizzed over it?
No, because I got it from Jizz Top, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it was already jizzed on for me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, pretty good so far. I'm not getting any notifications on it from like Discord or Messenger, so I need to figure out what's going on there. But besides that, so far so good.
Oh, nice.
I feel like the biggest thing that I hear about Metroid Dread is that Samus's controls are amazing, and because of that, like fighting bosses and stuff feels really good in Dread.
I don't know about that.
No, elaborate.
I mean, like it, like the movement itself does make it feel good. But for the actual like combat, like shooting, I don't know. I think it's just like okay. I don't think like the shooting stuff or like the melee counter stuff is particularly like make things interesting. But just like moving around just helps it out a bit. I don't know. It just feels the same as before, honestly. I would say like for boss battles, they're more of the type where if you know their attack patterns, they're really easy to defeat. But if you don't know their attack patterns, it could be a bit difficult because enemies in this game do a lot more damage than usual, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I did notice in the final boss, like one hit or so would just take away one energy tank. And I think like that's pretty rack.
crazy.
Yeah, like just one hit takes off like almost an energy tank worth of health. That's a big chunk of damage. And so the game, like if you know their attack patterns and how to dodge it, then it's all easy peasy. So yeah.
Sounds like they're trying to go the Dark Souls route.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. Just trying to reward player more on their knowledge rather than like a technical sense. But I think like a lot of the bosses can be cheesed pretty easily. like last night I was trying this one thing out where I speed boosted into a boss room, and so I had the Shine Spark state on, and then the Shine Spark is just so powerful that it destroys this boss's like the first phase in one hit.
Did you find that out yourself, or did you?
No, I read it online. But yeah, it's like a speed run trick.
I'm excited to watch this game being speed run ran.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I guess like speaking of speedruns, a lot of the I know like earlier I said that, you know, the game is kinda linear. But a lot of like I've seen a lot of news about glitches coming out that allows like for really cool sequence breaks. And I was like experimenting like a few of these techniques yesterday, and I was able to skip a boss, I believe. Like I said before, I was able to get the early gravity suit, which was cool. I think there was like another technique that I tried out. But yeah, some of the glitches are really hard to do. One in particular is called like the pseudo wave beam. And to do that, you kind of have to go in a sliding animation and then quickly jump out of it and then shoot. And then what happens is that your beams will clip to the wall and is able to hit like other parts of the map that they're not supposed to be able to hit. But it's like it takes me like 50 tries to do it correctly. But I can see it as like being a very pivotal like time saver for speedruns. And there's also another one called like the water morph ball jump. So in Metroid Dread, like if you don't have the gravity suit on and you try to do like a ball jump, like you're unable to gain a lot of height from it. So what this glitch does is that I don't really know the two technical details, but essentially it lets you be able to get that morph ball bomb jump height
mm-hmm.
as if you were out of water. Because of that, you're able to get the gravity suit pretty early on, I believe, and also the ice beam or ice missiles. Yeah, that's one cool thing.
That's pretty cool. Go glitches.
Yeah, go glitches indeed. I hope they don't patch it out.
Yeah, seriously.
that would really suck. Yeah, I think like that overall sums up my thoughts on Metroid Dread. Well, I guess like there's a story too. The story is kind of whatever. I would say though that this is the like there's like a this might be spoilers. But there is one time where Samus actually talks in Metroid Dread. But she talks like the Chozo language, which is really amazing, I think. Because she talks it like nonchalantly,
mm-hmm.
and so it kind of like just like surprised me like out of nowhere, like whoa, Samus is speaking, but oh wait, she's speaking like the Chozo language, which was a really nice detail, I think.
That's pretty pog.
Yeah.
Wait, did they make a language for this?
I feel like they just speak gibberish. Like they didn't specifically make a language just for it.
I think they had like ancient Chozo writing in Metroid Prime.
Maybe like, I don't know, maybe like Nintendo, they did do some like weird Chozo language.
No, I think it's all gibberish too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just gibberish, like Animal Crossing.
Daniel, come on. Where's your Animal Crossing impersonation? All right. Well, folks, I think that's all the time we have for today. I appreciate the Metroid Dread review. Ah, out of 10, what would you give Metroid Dread?
Maybe like 7 or 8, I would say. Like, right, folks, knowing that 5 is my average.
Yeah. Oh, 5.
Like, yeah. I would say like 7 or 8 seems pretty good so far.
There you have it, folks. Metroid Dread. Don't get it, but also it's not a bad game.
You can also sponsor us, Nintendo.
Yeah. Okay, someone else has to sell on it because I can't.
Just do whatever you want. If you want to get it, get it. Mm-hmm. If you don't, don't.
Mm-hmm. Bosses, support them. All right. Yeah. And as always, if you're listening to this podcast, email me at npctalkpodcast@gmail.com to let me know that you are listening, because I have gotten 0 emails so far. Even though I have not uploaded the last episode, so it's not exactly their fault, but still.
Please email. I emailed you.
No, you didn't.
Did I not?
Did you? Whoa. Did you? Did it not forward to?
Hello.
I only emailed once.
Hold on.
I just emailed you.
Okay, well, that doesn't count. You can't email me live. And be like,
but I listened to it because I contributed nothing. I like Ori. That's it.
Hey, Ori is a great game.
It is,
yeah,
a great game.
I like Ori.
I should probably play the second one.
Okay, I got 2 emails. One from Daniel. Was this when we recorded the last episode?
Forget.
To be concerned, I'd listen to the podcast until the end. Thank you for your time. Best regards, Roger. Oh, that's sus. All right. And we got another email from Roger saying, hi, I am a fan. And then, an email just came in from Daniel. It's me.
Hey, people listen.
That's 2 viewers, baby!
Pog!
We can only go up from here, boys.
Oh.
The sky's the limit.
Not if I stop listening.
Huh, these emails don't forward to my email. I need to work on that. All right. Well, that'll be it for today's episode of NPC Talk. If you're a sponsor, email us. And this podcast was sponsored by... So, yeah. Thank you for listening, everyone. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Oh, see ya. Thanks for listening.
Now, tune in again.
Bye.